We're going to talk with Dr. Abjami Katranji. Doctor, how are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself, Tony?
How did I get you up this early?
You know, it's Ramadan, as you know, this month, and so we get up pretty early so that we can have breakfast before the crack of dawn.
And I know that I had called you a couple days ago. I wanted to get your take. There is a gentleman, and he is bringing a speaker in, Pastor Jones, to speak later on this month. And as you know, Pastor Jones has a lot of negative things to say about the Quran, about Muslims, and I wanted to get your take.
You know, honestly, you know, Pastor Jones is more than entitled to his opinion. It's America and it's a free country. And what makes our country great is the diversity of opinion that's there. I'd welcome Pastor Jones in a debate anytime to discuss his views. You know how I feel. You know, as a Muslim, this is one of the great faiths of this, on this earth. And it's a brother faith or a sister faith to Christianity and Judaism, part of the same Abrahamic tradition.
We had a gentleman on who is sponsoring Pastor Jones' visits to Lansing at the state capitol as well as out in Okemos. His name is James Turpining. He's from a group called Operation Freedoms, and he has been invited to come here to debate this issue, but he believes that the first three quarters of the Quran is good and well and very acceptable, especially to Christians and non-Christians. But he believes that the last quarter, there are various portions of the Quran which tell Muslims that if people go against the Quran, that they are to be killed, that it's okay to lie if you are protecting Muslims and the beliefs of the Quran. And I want you to talk about that.
You know, I think they overlook the core of the Quran says this: if you kill a human being, it's as if you've killed all of humanity. And if you save a human being's life, it's as if you've saved all of humanity. And I think that sums up the message of the Quran. I know that a lot of people will take verses and things like that, and I can guarantee you that if I take many versions of the Bible and take particular verses out of context, I can really create a message that's not what the Bible intended, neither in the Old Testament or the New Testament. I mean, if you read some of the Old Testament readings, let's say with the prophet Joshua, as he's coming in into the land of Israel and opening up the Canaan lands, I mean, God's ordering him to destroy all and to decimate their kids, their villages, et cetera, et cetera. Well, clearly, if I'm going to just take that context and say that this is what the Bible is saying, people are going to completely misunderstand the message of grace and humanity that the Bible provides, and therefore, deliver the wrong message. And it's the exact same thing with the Quran. You have to take these verses in the context by which they came down, and also understand the purpose and the message behind each of these. The very reasons and the very verses some of the people challenge the Quran with are almost identical verses that you can find in the Old and in the New Testament. It's just, the message of God when a people become oppressed and have to defend themselves. But ultimately, the message in the Quran, just like in the Bible, is one of humanity, an advancement of humanity in God's grace. And again, I hold to the core of the Quran that says that he who saves a human being's life, it's as if he saved all of humanity.
Well, Mr. Turpining also said that many Americans fear Muslims, have a fear of radicalism, and that enough Muslims don't declare radicalism a bad thing, don't denounce it, and that Americans need to admit, hey, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid for my family and for my country. How would you respond to that?
Well, I with him, I agree. If we're going to discuss radicalism, I think we should be very fearful of radicalism. I think there was a form of Christian radicalism called the KKK, which I think we should have stand opposed to and put on trial, like Peter King put radical Muslims on trial, in the congressional hearings. And any of these groups, I mean, several of these neo-Nazi groups, they're labeled as neo-Nazis, but they very often manipulate the Bible or the New Testament to justify their racial hatreds. And unfortunately, this type of extremism is not exclusive to one group or another. as we saw in Norway, you have a guy with very radical views who then went on and killed his own people. In the United States, we have a gentleman who just killed or attempted to kill several police officers in Montana, waging war, and he's not a Muslim. He's not a radical Muslim. He's a very radical, right winger who has this extreme view on how the country should be run and justifies it. So I do agree with him that we need to stand opposed to radicalism in any form and from any group.
But his point was that Christians aren't blowing up other people and not blowing up their own people on a daily basis.
Well, I mean, Oklahoma City, Norway, the bombings by the IRA in England. I mean, listen, it's very easy to just pick on an issue and kind of ignore and put blinders on and ignore all these other issues. But if we want to look at extremist behaviors, a young man going into West Virginia and shooting up the campus, a gentleman at a gathering decides to go in and shoot several people, including a congresswoman. These are all forms of extremism and radicalism. They're driven by views. So, yes, you're right. Maybe in one example you could say, well, we haven't seen a bombing. But if he's going to say that this is exclusive to one group or another, he's extremely wrong. I mean, and in a way, he creates an environment by which these radicals proliferate. What we have to address is radicalism and extremism as a whole. It's not exclusive to a faith. It's not exclusive to a group. And I think we make a mistake by tying in the faith or groups to these radicals. They operate in a independent, kind of this independent rule, their own world. They run by their own rules. And we as a society, whether Christian, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, Buddhist, American, secular, atheist, we have to stand together to say that, hey, look, this is a world for anybody, and anybody has a right to their opinion, and this type of extremism is not tolerated regardless of where it comes from.
How will you and perhaps the Greater Lansing Islamic Center deal with Mr. Jones' visits?
To be totally honest, for us, he's a very irrelevant individual. I mean, he's one amongst many who feel like they have an opinion, which they're completely entitled to. If we're asked how we feel, our opinion. We're very proud of being Americans. We're being very proud of being Muslims, and we're very proud neighbors and part of the Mid-Michigan community. And I think that's the message. As a matter of fact, what we're gathering today, what we're putting together, is an interfaith event to help serve the Mid-Michigan community. I think the event happens to fall close to Terry Jones's time when he comes here. And we would encourage him that rather than, discuss his views in which he feels anger or angst toward a group, maybe he should join us to help the community, and it's better to serve your neighbor and get closer to God in that fashion.
A final question for you. Are you familiar with the term, is it Shakura?
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 I have no idea what that is.
Okay. But I received an email, and it wasn't very clear to me, but I just wanted to put that word toward you and see if it meant anything. When I know a little bit more, I'll ask you again.
No, that's not a problem.
All right, Dr. Katarangi, thanks so much for your time.
Tony, it's a pleasure.